4, starting at verse 6, the Bible says, "And Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby among men, whereby we must be saved." As I read this text today, I was thinking about what could be said about Brother Cross, and I came to this conclusion. Whether you call him husband, father, brother, grandpa, father-in-law, or something else, all are his family titles. And as you family know, that took years to develop. As I think about the titles I thought about with this poem here, you're looking at rocket scientist. I used to joke with him all the time when I'm preaching that it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what God was saying here. And everybody always thought that I didn't know who or what I was talking about, but I knew the whole time. If you were ever looking for somebody to get in their ear that would tell me something, I'd listen. He's right here. There are no more. Him and Dr. Carter, that was it. So you leave my wife alone now. But I see that out of those titles, you got rocket scientist, engineer, tester, and probably some classified that you and I would not be allowed to talk about. Because I see some of you I don't recognize, and you may be the Secret Service, I don't know. Because they do that, you know. But it took years to develop those titles as well. And over the years, Brother Cross said some things to me that I wrote down, and I've always made note of these things. When I began to lose my hair, he told me, he said, "Do you regret that?" I said, "Not at all." He said, "Well, let me tell you something. God made a few perfect heads. The rest of you, he covered with hair." That's what Brother Cross told me back in 2000, I believe it was. And then he told me something else that I wish I'd have known when I was 18 years old. That having credit is what society pushes. Having credit is what society pushes. Paying your way as you go, it works 100% of the time. And he also said this, always listen to what others say as they may know something that you don't. I took all those things and I've kept those things over the years. And they all work. Especially the first one. There are some things I witnessed this man do that I didn't think he was physically capable of doing. We bought some pews one time from this church in Laura, South Carolina. And me and my healthy young cousin and I drove 4 hours one way to get those things. We got down there and had to rent this big old U-Haul truck. And those people wouldn't help us load them things. And we had to load every one of them. We had enough to fill the choir loft and every square inch of this room. When we got here after all that, as tired as we were, one man showed up to help us unload them. That was Brother Cross. He grabbed one end, I grabbed the other. Then he grabbed one end, and my cousin grabbed the other. He made every trip. We were almost dead. And he said, "You boys need to get in shape." He was only, 40 years older than us. I mean, he told us we needed to get in shape fast. We was in bad shape. And there's a time that he and I rode to Oliver B. Green's bookstore over in Greenville. And Miss Green was still alive at the time, and she was in the first stages of Alzheimer's. And I will never forget that woman accusing me and Brother Cross of coming in there to break in and steal all the books in that room. And her son come and got her, and he apologized, and Brother Cross said, "It doesn't matter. She doesn't know." What a gracious man. What a gracious man. There's another thing I'll share with you later in this message that touched my heart about him. But one thing I could say about him, if they were to ask me to describe Brother Cross in one word, I'd say character. He had that by the gallons. Most folks don't even have it by the drop. He had it by the gallons. And as I read through this, and I see that the Bible says that there's one name under heaven whereby men must be saved. That name is still Jesus Christ. It's still Him, and it's still the blood that matters. A lot of folks have come up with a lot of different ways. Jesus said all that come under some way are a thief and a robber. I want to tell you this today. Sometimes I preach funerals for folks I have never met in my life. I hope they're in heaven. I really do. But with this man, I've seen enough out of him over the last 20 years to tell you this. He told me when he got saved, and he lived it in front of me every day of his life. There was nothing he wouldn't do for the Lord. Not one thing. I've seen him do things and heard of things he'd done, and then years later found out he'd done things, and it totally amazed me about him. The stuff he knew and the people he helped, and I think most of you here in the room right now. There's times he'd come down here and pray for folks that are sitting right here. Right here, right now. It's good to know that we had somebody praying for us. We need one of you to take his place in the prayer room for him. He's in heaven now with the Lord. I got to thinking, back when he was growing up, most of the roads in Charlotte were dirt roads where he said he lived at. He said every so often they'd have this thing, these revivals up there where all the churches would come together, they'd rent a big old tent and have an evangelist come in. He said that's when he got saved, was back then. I said, what did it take to bring you to the Lord? He said, back then it was just an invitation, it was all. He said, but I've noticed over the years it's taken a lot more than that to reach out to people because we can't get them to come hear the gospel anymore. Brother Cross was a great supporter of missions because he wanted to see others get saved as well. I got to think about what it take to bring people in this room right here to the Lord. I know for Nebuchadnezzar it took a nervous breakdown. The Bible said the man's fingernails got to be like claws. He is out eating grass in the yard. And God used that nervous breakdown to bring him to Jesus Christ and be saved. There's no doubt somebody here today that you went through a nervous breakdown and God got your attention through that thing and brought you to Christ that you might be saved. I got to thinking about other people in the Bible. I thought about some people it'll take poverty because in Luke 15 there was a prodigal son over there. He took his inheritance while his father was alive. He lived it up in the far country. But then he found out something. No money, no friends. The only had was family. And it took poverty to bring that man to the Lord. He was in the hog pen. Brother Cross told me about hog pens. You don't ever want to go around a hog pen. If he gets something on you, it's on you for life. You got to throw that thing away, whatever it is. That guy was eating with the hogs. I got a preacher boy that come out of our church. He lost his mind and went and got some hogs here a while back. I never understood why any man would want to raise those when he don't have to. And I wanted to go out there and see that hog pen. You would be surprised what all they'll do if you've never seen them. My goodness, and the bigger they get, the worse they get. And I noticed that it took that prodigal son to be all the way down, losing everything he had, before he finally got on his face and said, I'm going home. I'm going home to my father's house. I know he had my and daddy's house, but he wound up at the father's house. I know for some it's going to take an earthquake. I read over in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer was over there. Paul and Silas had been arrested for preaching, not avoiding the IRS. Say amen. Lest there be a tax cheat among us. They were not in there for avoiding paying taxes. They were there for preaching the gospel. And we know that while they were there, they began to sing praise at midnight rather than worry their relatives on the phone and try to admit, I haven't done anything. Why am I here? They began to pray and thank God and sing Amazing Grace and Beulah Land and all them good songs. He said, I don't know if they did or not. Well, you can have it your way, but I got the floor right now. They sang Beulah Land, amen. Listen, had a good time of it. And God rocked that jail with an earthquake and all the chains fell off them men. The Philippian jailer was about to stab himself with his sword because back then they didn't write you up for letting a prisoner go or fire you. They killed you. Before he could take his own life, Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. The next thing out of his mouth is, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Listen to me. What's it going to take? The earthquake? Nervous breakdown? Losing everything you got? But listen to this. I read that in Jonah chapter 1 in the Bible, it took a storm to bring a man to God. He was called to preach. He went out and went the opposite direction God told him to go. And everything in the Bible from there out, you see, he went down, then he went down, then he went down, and finally he's down at the bottom of the ship, the storm comes. All those people that's on board said, listen, somebody here's not right with God, we've got to get rid of one of you. They all cast lots, and you know what happened? The lot fell on old Jonah. You can't run when your sin's boiling out of you like that. Somebody will see it. They threw him overboard. He said, that's all my fault. I'm called of God. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And they threw him overboard. And then he went down again in the whale's mouth, and it took him all the way to the bottom of the ocean where he's at. You say, you believe that? Son, if the Bible said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. I've learned something. If God says it, you trust God. It's these crooks that come around that say they're God I don't trust. Listen to me. Some is going to take a storm like that, because when Jonah got down there in that whale's belly, he began to do something he hadn't done since God called him. He began to pray. Salvation is of the Lord. Lord, if you'll put me out of here, I'll do exactly what you said. And he did. He went and led the greatest revival in earth's history in a town that you probably wouldn't have heard of if it wouldn't have been wrote in the Bible, Nineveh. Everybody got right, from the politicians down to the poor people. Everybody got right. Sackcloth and ashes. Greatest revival ever. More converts, more folks getting right with God ever. But then, as I looked through the Bible, I read over in Isaiah chapter 6, and it said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. For some of you, it took this funeral to get you to even listen. Some of us, it takes a funeral to get us right with the Lord. We had a funeral up at Blakely's funeral home a few years back, and two young boys got saved. And they came to me after the service and said, if it wasn't been for this service, I would have probably never heard about the gospel. That's a shame to live in a country that's free like we have, and those two boys being 16 and 18, never hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it took a funeral to get them to hear it. A lot of times, the only place we ever wind up hearing any preaching is at a funeral. Why has God got you here today? Did it take a funeral to get your attention today? Death is real, friend. Genesis chapter 3, the devil came along. He said, how do you know God said all that? After all, the Bible's just nothing but a book of fairy tales. He's still saying the same thing to this day. When they question the Bible, I know whose team they play for, and it's not the Lord's. But I know this, when we get to this point, everybody prays and everybody believes the book. Our dear departed friend told me there are no atheists in foxholes. And there's not a foxhole without a prayer room in it. When time gets tough, people get to praying. You may walk out of here today without the Lord, but you're not going to walk out of here without hearing about him. Because my dearly departed friend, Brother Cross, would want me to tell you how Jesus Christ came to planet Earth. And the Bible says of him, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He'd have you to know today, listen, that his Word says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What's the gift of God? The Lord Jesus Christ is the gift of God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Hey, while we're here, the Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, hear. With the mouth, here. For with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Hey, listen. When you accept Him and you call to Him to save you, here's four simple words for it. Thou shalt be saved. That's the grace of God. That's the Son of God. That's the payment for every sin that's ever been made in this planet. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, that He not only died for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. God gave His best. He paid the price for our sins. You know who gets a hold of that? People who understand that we are little more than sinners deserving of a devil's hell. Don't ever look over at a crackhead or a pillhead or a pothead and say, I'm better than them. Oh, you're far worse. If they could quit what they're doing, they'd do it right now. The drunk in the ditch with his bottle half empty said, I'd quit right now if I could. If you ever see them guys get saved, you call them preachers now, just about. You know why? So somebody's got a lot to be thankful for. Boy, we get up and thank a lot for it. Listen, hey, I want to make another announcement too while we're here. You see this beautiful flag this man served under? We don't step on them here. We honor the men who fought for that flag. Who would be like that? Somebody who had Christ as their Savior and believed in the principles of the Word of God that this country was founded on. Hey, listen. This funeral's got you here. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you died right now, you'd be in the devil's hell. You know how you know that? The Holy Spirit lets you know before you ever walk in the door. Don't waste another minute of your life saying, I'll do it later. Over at Floyd Cemetery over there, there's a man that I was very close to, 32 years old, told me, I'll get saved when I get older because that's what my daddy did. He died at 33. We buried one of my close high school friends when I was 16 years old at Corinth Cemetery right up here on the side of the road. He never saw 20. This could be your last day on planet Earth. I'm sure this week, as we had a neighbor down here below us, a little child went off into eternity. I'm sure they didn't get up that morning wondering who to call for a funeral. You never know what's going to happen next. But I do know this. I heard the piano playing Amazing Grace a while ago. I know who holds that in his hand. I know who has the whole thing, sees it from back to front and front to back. And his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, he still saves old sinners. The other thing I was going to tell you about Brother Cross, I waited for last to tell you. Some of you remember this. We used to have a man in our church that every time somebody would get saved, he'd make a laugh in this building. And he would quote a verse of Scripture. It's Luke 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. That talks about that in heaven, it's not the angels shouting for our salvation. They don't even understand it, Hebrews says. But somebody in their presence understands it. Who are they? People just like you that's gone on to be with glory, that was in that miry pit called sin, that Jesus Christ came along and saved you and nobody else would. Loved you when you were loveless and became a father to the fatherless. Him. They're up there in heaven, and every time somebody gets saved here on earth, they shout for joy. Why? They know what it means. So that one guy started making laughs. 17 the first year, 35 the second, and 21 the third, 2001 and 2002. Brother Cross was something I'd never met before in my life. He was called a snowbird for the first few years I knew him. I didn't even know what that meant. I've heard people say it, and I didn't want to ask because I didn't want to seem like the ignorant one. Everybody else seemed like they knew what that meant. And he explained to me, we live down there, and then we live up here. I said, why do that? He said, I don't like the cold. That's what he said. I'm with him. I don't like the cold either. Give me a good hot day over freezing any day. Now that I'm getting a little bit older, I hate the cold even more. Honey, we need a house in Florida is what I'm saying. Just half the year, though. But I'll never forget when that old man got up and started running with that young man. Especially when we had five saved here one day. And by the end of it, the young man was sucking wind on that fifth lap. And Brother Cross was behind him, pushing him all the way. It's like, why would somebody do something like that? Because he knows what it means to be forgiven. I want to share something very personal with you. The day I got saved was April 7th, 1994. I got saved at 15 minutes to midnight in Greenville County. I had never had a good night's sleep, it seemed like years before that. And if you've ever slept in a hospital waiting room, you don't normally see a good night's sleep in one of them places, do you? Tell you what, the night I got saved, I got me one of them Bibles, that's ever one of them hardback Bibles, because Christians read the Bible. I just become one. I didn't even know where anything was at in the Bible. I was going to read it. When I got through reading the Bible, I said, Lord, I don't even know how to pray, but I know you listen. I might have said, now lay me down to sleep, because that's what I said as a kid. I don't know. I don't remember. But I do remember pushing two chairs together, knowing that God had the whole thing under control. Family, can I say to you, friends, today, can I say to you, He's got it all under control. There's no doubt in my mind that if right now, on this day, if somebody in this building under the sound of my voice would come forward and say, Preacher, I need to be saved, and I take my Bible and lead you to Christ, there'd be an announcement over heaven's intercom. I don't know about the rest of them. I know they'd be shouting, but I know one would be making a lap all over glory for you. Let's stand. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for this time. What a hard time it is to depart a friend like this and see him go away. But, Lord, you are good to us. Lord, we've had 86 wonderful years with Brother Cross. Lord, he'll be missed. There's nobody here to replace him, nobody with the character he has. But, Lord, he's in your hands now. And, Lord, we're in yours. And we pray, God, that you'll help us. No doubt there's family, friends, somebody here today, acquaintance, that's lost today, God. All they need is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, paying for their sins and accepting them as their Savior. Lord, please deal with the sinner today and help them be saved. Lord, if there's anybody here today, Lord God, that's a child of God, that's discouraged walking with you, Lord God, I pray the message today has been an encouragement to them. I know Brother Cross's life was an encouragement to me. Lord, he has been good to me ever since I've known him. And I pray right now, Father, that you would do a great work. Help us as we leave this place. Give us traveling grace to the next appointed place. And Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for this family and this time. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.